you need to do to guarantee an excellent walk with God. Step one is dedication. 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 And dedication is simply a decision. A decision. I heard someone say, you own your own mind, so make it up. Make your own mind up. And make, you see, when Jesus, you know, he, when he was praying, he said, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass me over. But he had made a decision to do the will of God. His mind was made up. I'm going to that cross. And the same way you can. Because that's dedication. You make a decision and you refuse to allow anything. Anything. You refuse to allow anything to move you. It is said that when the eagle sets its eye on the on its prey, it doesn't it doesn't change. It keeps its eye focused on until it catches it. Make a decision. Yeah. Step one is dedication. We have to. No, you make a okay. I'll talk about myself. I make a decision. I'm never going to do this again. You have to, and be prepared. Every time you make that decision, be prepared to be tested. Be prepared. You can't. There's no point making a decision if you're not going to be tested. If you've made a decision, that's dedication. Make a decision. Step two. Step two is singleness of purpose. Singleness of purpose. Turn with me to James. James that we just read. There's something very, very interesting in James and chapter 1. Let me see if I can find it. James chapter 1. I'll go straight to the verse that I have in mind. It is... there you go. Yes. I'll start from verse 7. For let not the man that suppose... No, for not... not for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. Unstable in how many ways? That's not a balanced equation. If you are double-minded, you should be unstable in two ways, isn't it? Because you are double-minded. But by not being single-minded, you'll be unstable in everything you do. So the dedication, the decision you made is wasted. Yeah? Single-minded. I think I gave the illustration of ego too soon. You need to become like an ego. You focus. Because right now, January 8th, 2024. My eyes is set on one thing. Unfortunately, I can't share it with you. It will be a testimony when it happens. Because I've set my mind on a birthday present for myself. And there's nothing. It doesn't happen. Say, God, you are. What happened? Single-minded of... You fix your eye on it and you refuse to allow anything at all. And be prepared. Yes, you're going to get. I'm already feeling the turbulence right now. But my mind is made up. My mind is made up. The same way God made up his mind. I want my man. And he did everything to get you back. He planned it excellently and he executed it excellently. The same way. Remember Genesis chapter 1, verse 10. He said, let us make man in whose image? Thank you. So if God can be excellent in that way, so can you. Because right now, not only were you created, but now you've been recreated. Oh, thank you, sister. She read that from Ephesians chapter. You've now been recreated. You bear his DNA. Don't, because some of these things don't just happen automatically. You have to do something about the fact that you are now born of him and you bear his DNA. Singleness, singleness of purpose. This one thing, I'm focused on it. And until it happens, I'm not budging. I'm not moving. I'm not budging anywhere. My mind is focused on it. As far as the sun is, if you get a scientist in the house, convex or convex? Convex lens. Convex lens is the one that focuses it. Yeah? Concave disperses the convex. Scientist in the house, help me. Is it concave? Yes. convex. Yes. As far as the sun is, convex lens can burn anything because focus. Whatever it might be that you either desire or you've decided to get from, until you get it, you are not budging. And as I've said already, get ready. Get ready. It's not about you. He just doesn't like you. He hates you with a double passion. He will come to check. Okay, this young man said that on the 8th of January 2024, this is what he wants. Let's see. He would raise dust. Raise as much dust as you want. As far as I'm concerned, you can't shake God's throne. So when in the spirit I see God's throne shaking and God is shaking too, then I can start panicking. But that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So be prepared. Be prepared. And that is why you start with that decision. You say, yes, I'm dedicating everything I have to this one thing. Step 3. Singleness of purpose is not just for you. The best of your life is not what you get. Is what you give. Is what you do to that person in your world. Is what you do. Besides, every one of us, there is an assignment on your life. There's something God expects you to do. I read something on, is it TikTok? You know, TikTok now. You are here. You are still alive because God needs you for somebody. So you are dedicating your life. Dedication, a decision. Your singleness of purpose is to be of help to somebody. To be that solution to somebody's problem. That answer to somebody's question. And then this is where I have to go there. I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 years ago, I was thinking about, what's it called? You know that verse, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. I was thinking about that. If I give, people give me good measure, pressed down, shaken, running over. And God interrupted my excitement. Because I had given. I said, yes. Jesus prayed. And of course you can expect that. Jesus promised it. Good measure. Praise God. Shaking again. Running over. Shall men give to your bosom. And God interrupted my excitement. I said, do you know, there is a fraction of the financing of the gospel and the body of Christ that you are responsible for. I said, what? He said, there is a fraction of the financing of the gospel and the body of Christ that you, Tunde, are responsible for. I said, imagine it. When a cell stops to do what it's assigned to do, what happens? Oh, thank you. Because it was with the they did not understand. I think it was mid-80s. They did not understand what cancer was. They said, cancer is one cell gone crazy. That's back in the 80s, because I can still remember. So, if you are not doing what you have been put in the body of Christ to do, but thank God for the grace of God, you won't cross. But there is. Yeah. So you are dedicated, singleness of purpose, to serve others, to be a blessing to somebody else. There's somebody in your world that's crying out for help. And that help, God wants to release it through you. But if you're not in that position where God can use you. So, it's, as I said, the quality of your life is not in what you get or what you have. The quality of the life you've lived is in what you've given. It's more blessed to do what? Than to do what? Become a giver. Be like your father. He's the best, the greatest giver, and you bear his DNA. So you are alive for somebody else. I was trying to grow, Mr. O's presence online, and you're reading, and I bumped into this short clip. It says, "Don't post things online so that people can use your services. Post things online to help somebody. When they read it, it will be a help. Give. Post things on because." The more you give, that's how you now build you build a followership because you are focused. You are not focused. For example, I'm a private math tutor. Oh, come for my private math tutor. You know, no, you don't start by that. No, don't. Right? Put short things. TikTok 2 seconds. No, not 2 seconds. What? 15 seconds. How long do you last on TikTok? 3 seconds. Flipping. 2 seconds. Something short, give. Yeah, be that solution. Be that answer to somebody. That's step 3. Step 4. Gets very interesting. Rely solely and wholly, wholly, on the Holy Spirit. That's somebody we don't talk about that much in church these days, isn't it? But he's still there. Genesis chapter 1. The scripture says he was hovering over the face of the waters. That's where you find him. Hovering over the face of God's word. The longer you spend with God's word, there is guarantee you will bump into him. You know when we say, oh, that scripture jumped out. Yeah, that's Holy Spirit quickening it. You know, revealing something to you. Yeah, depend completely on the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to, God remind me. There's a word. I'll find that word. But complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. Being sensitive to him. Listening. Because the same way you like talking. He likes talking. He's talking. But the problem is, are we tuned to be able to hear him? But rely on him. Rely on him. And yes, I'm going to. You know when men of God, pastors, when they say, and God said to me, I heard the voice of God. Who did pastor hear? That's interactive now. When a man of God says, oh, God said to, I woke up and God said to me. Whose voice did pastor hear? Holy Spirit. Absolutely. It's Holy Spirit. If you hear God, even told Moses, you can't see me, I live. It's the Holy Spirit. Rely on him. Spend more time in God's word because that's the only place. That's how you get to you are renewing your mind. You're renewing the state of your mind. You're changing your attitude. You are also, because it says if you're going to hear the voice of the Lord, if you're going to hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart. By spending time in God's word, you are softening your heart. Yeah, you're connecting to God's frequency. You're putting yourself in that position where you can hear him. Because the glory and the benefit of having the Holy Spirit is so that you can hear him. So, total dependence, complete dependence on the Spirit of God. And yes... this is not an excuse. Yes, you might miss it once or twice, but get up, dust yourself, and get back at it. Yeah, we've all made mistakes. We thought we heard the Spirit of God, but we just heard something and we did it, and then God said no. Yeah, you get it wrong, just dust yourself. Dust yourself and get back at it. Don't say, oh God, I failed again. No. Get back at it. Get back at it. I remember when John was learning how to ride a bicycle. Oh God. You start to fall. Continue to the point I say, you know, because Joy had stabilizers, so she would just go. John, oh, why can't I ride? He'll start. What if you just, I can't ride the bicycle, kick the bicycle, and just say, no, but today you won't be riding a bicycle. So got to the point, I took the bicycle back to the people. I said, can you please put stabilizer? They said, oh, and then we bought him a big bicycle. They said, they can, but it's going to cost. And I said, why don't you do it the old-fashioned way? I said, what's the old-fashioned way? Go to the top of the hill, let him go. I said, say what? He said, listen, when you're in motion, you're not thinking of balancing. You're just thinking of going. He will learn how to ride. I said, really? And back then, we lived there was a hill opposite their school. So we went there. I said, John, did you hear what? He said, yes. When we get up there, I'm going to. He said, yes, Daddy, I'm ready. I said, really? He said, yes, Daddy. We got up. I asked him again, are you sure? He said, yes. I said, okay. And yes, my boy went all the way down. Of course, when he slows down, you know, and then you fall again. What if he did it because he heard the man saying, oh, just let him go. He'll learn how to ride. What if he got to the foot of the hill and he fell and said, I'm giving up. What would happen? Today, he won't be riding a bicycle. But I kept doing it. And I've told this. It took a while for me to tell this to my wife. Those ones. Oh God, he was going downhill. I said, "Shouted, Daddy, where are the brakes?" And then there's this ramp, you know, skateboard ramp. Oh, my boy ran straight into it. I thank God he was wearing a helmet that day. Ran straight into the ramp. He dusted himself and he went. I said, hey, let's go. He said, no. He cried a bit. But now I said, okay, Daddy, I want to go back. I said, what? But thank God, he's riding today. He didn't give up. He did not go. Yes, you will make mistakes, but dust yourself, get back on. Total dependence on the Spirit of God. He speaks, and eventually you get to that point where you can hear him distinct. Because that's the joy, that's the glory of having the Spirit of God here. He said, of what he tells me, of what he hears, he will speak. God is always, heaven is always. Okay. Praise God. Let's go to step five is connected to step four. But let's go to John 17. Let John 17 illustrate step five to us. John chapter 17, and I'm going to read verse 17. Yeah. John 17, verse 17 reads, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Sanctify simply means set them apart for holy use. So to be sanctified means to be set apart for holy use. So step five is let God's word strip you down, make you lean, get rid of the, because Hebrews chapter 12 starts by saying, you know, all the weights that is weighing you down, you know, let it go. The word of God will do it, because Jesus said, does God answer Jesus' prayers? Of course. So he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Do this. Practical. Dedicate 30 to 1 hour for 2 weeks. Just reading, read anywhere. Just read God's word for 2 weeks. 30 minutes to 1 hour. Dedicated 30. And that's all you're doing. You're just reading the word of God. God would answer this in your life. Because Jesus said, sanctify them. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. You want to be stripped down. Spend time in God's word. Just read. Say, oh, If you are too busy to spend time in God's word, you are doing things that God hasn't asked you to do. You can't be too busy. Amen. Spend time. Yeah, that's practical. I've given you a practical tip. For 2 weeks, just do it and examine your life. Let the word of God strip you. And whatever he says to do, do it. Just do it. Because at the end of the day, he knows best. He knows best. And whatever he has asked you to do is for your own good. When you have direct instruction, obedience is all you need to unlock God's favor over your life. That's it. Obedience. He says, do this. You've heard him. Just do it. Obedience. Because let's ask ourselves the question. What converted the water into wine? Yeah, we can say miracle. Jesus performed the miracle. But what if the disciples that filled those pots with water, they knew it was water. Jesus said, okay, take to the chairman or the chief, the MC or the, Ha! You want my head to be, they've been drinking wine. You now want me to take water to them. It was their obedience. Because if they did not take that cup to the high table, they would have not had wine. Now even though Jesus had performed the miracle, if they did not obey, because that's what Jesus said, take, and then take it to the obedience. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so. Let God's word strip you down. Make you lean. Get rid of the excess. Get rid of the excesses. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. The third type of soil where the word doesn't work, isn't it? Jesus called it the seed that fell amongst weed. He called it the cares of this world. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. God's word will cure you from that. God's word would cure you from that. You making a decision, a dedicated decision to be single-minded, to spend time with God's word, it would get rid of the cares of this world. God's word, especially, if you are reading God's word to find out what to do, to find out what he has promised you, and then especially when you come across a promise, you now tarry there, and God has promised it. He has promised. He's the Lord God, my shepherd. I shall not want. That's it. You shall not want. You now spend time there. That's it. Care that we're gone. Care that we're gone. You get to that point where God is blessing you. God is blessing you. Now, I think I've said this once here. If your confidence, if the reason why you're at ease today is because, that bank account is fat. The investments is yielding. That's deceitfulness of riches. Right there. That's deceitfulness of riches. But God's word will strip you. Because at the end of the day, it's not what is in your bank account. It's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Because if that's the reason why you are confident, then the word of God has stripped you from the deceitfulness of riches. And then the lust of that. What else do you want? You have God, you have his word. What more do you want? Amen. But give God's word permission to strip you. As a matter of fact, if I start thinking things that are not aligned with your word, I give you permission to give me a good Holy Ghost slap so I can wake up and realize that is wrong thinking. And then I'll go back to God's word, find out what I'm supposed to think, and I'll think it. Give God's word permission to strip you down. That's step five. And then that's the final step. This is especially for Mr. O, because I cannot remember the last time I did this. And 2024 has to be the year that I make a decision, dedicated decision, to return to this. Step six is a fasted life. A fasted life. Fasting doesn't mean not eating. If that's what you do in a fast, that's just hunger strike. Because, you see, what fasting does, or what fasting ought to do, is to quieten your flesh so that you can hear God. So if you declare a fast, you say, okay, Monday I'm fasting, and all you do is not eat till 6, hunger strike. That's what you've done. You've just denied yourself food till 6 o'clock. But I'm doing this because, one, 2024 is around the corner. I need to hear from God for 2024. I'm going to start from Monday. I'm going to start the fast so I can hear. Aha. Now you're fasting. Because at the end of the day, that's what a fast does. That's what a fast does. You're quietening the voice of your flesh. You're quietening the voice of your flesh. And in that fast, you have to, capital H, capital A, capital V, capital E, especially in that fast, you have to dedicate time in the word of God and prayer. Because if I want to quieten my flesh, but then you spend all, you do nothing until 60, that's hunger strike. You just deny yourself food. Amen. Because in the fast, if you don't spend time in God's word, how are you going to hear from God? If you don't spend time in prayer, how are you going to hear from God? And that's it. Because at the end of the day, if you have his presence, you are guaranteed his protection. And you will always have his provision. But God is always with you. But because now you're a spirit, you own a mind, you live in a body. Your body cannot lead, but the body wants to lead. Especially now that it's very cold. And then if you have those you have to wake up early in the morning, staying under that duvet is better than, going to pray. Mr. O, under the duvet, and then after 5-10 minutes, because the body wants some comfort. Deny the body of that comfort. Get out and pray. Get out, spend time with God. Step six, a fasted life. Silencing, because at the end of the day, you want your spirit having lead over your life. Not even your mind. Your mind cannot lead. Your mind cannot lead. Because at the end of the day, God gave me this illustration. You cannot stop birds flying over your head, but you definitely can stop them from laying, creating a nest on your head, isn't it? So thoughts come. So a thought come, and I'll use a thought. A thought come in my mind. I say, that's not my thought. I didn't say it out to Abs. I'm trying to cancel a thought with a thought. It's not going to work. That would work. Yeah. So you need to take, you need to lead. You need to take leadership over your mind and your body. And one way to get that done is a fasted life. Pastor doesn't need to declare a fast before you fast. He doesn't need to declare a fast. Yes, praise God, the church will declare a fast. Yes, join in, but for yourself. Because at the end of the day, when you get to that place where you can hear God with clarity, your body is no longer in the way. You get to that point where you hear God and your body will not say no, or your mind will say let's apply wisdom. Let's apply wisdom. No, that is your position of victory. That is your position of victory, and that now enrolls you for that excellent walk with God, because he can And all of a sudden, he has to be prepared. And then the best thing is, he has been speaking to you all along. It's just that different frequencies. different frequencies. I'll give you a testimony. When was it now? Oh, I had just this lovely thing called cars. Oh, and that it's the testimony that she gave, similar. I just sorted out the gearbox. Gearbox had been refurbished. And all of a sudden, I was driving. Every time I pressed the brake, I heard this sound. And I've been driving since 2005. I did not recognize what that sound was. All of a sudden, Mr. Ogo, what do you do? I was like, what is this? I've just spent close to 1,000. What is this? And you know, if it's something familiar, you know, okay, well, let me just take the mechanic. But I was like, oh, what is this? My mechanic friend that did the gearbox called him Monday. Because it started on a Friday. Continued on Saturday. Continued on Sunday. So Monday, I started calling him. He won't pick up. Tuesday. By Wednesday, yes, Mr. O was... Oh, no. So Tuesday, I now booked it in to the closest mechanic around me in Horsham. But then I was like, oh, my God. What if... And then the guy just said, drop the car and then come back and pick it. I was like, I dropped the car. They just tell me that. I'll go back and maybe I'll find... Oh, my mind started playing games with me. I'll go back there and do now charge me. I don't know why my mind had £300. And that was something I did not have. So I allowed that to get me agitated. I allowed my mind to take over. But Wednesday, when I woke up, I said, no. Something just nudged me. But I knew that God said, do something about this. So I just started praying the Holy Ghost. I prayed the Holy Ghost for about 2 hours. I just prayed for 2 hours, nonstop. So that was from 9 to 11. Around 11:30, same thing. Call Sam now. I called Sam. He picked up. I said, ooh. I said, Sam, oh. So you know you have a phone. And I said, Sam, something, I'm hearing this sound. Oh, he said, go and get it checked if it's brakes. I said, no, I booked something for Thursday, but I'm not. He said, okay, can you bring it down? Because the last time he came to take the car, to go and sort out the gearbox. But yeah, praying the Holy Ghost. I just prayed the Holy Ghost, and that was it. And then what I thought would be £300, guess how much it was? Oh, yes. So the moment I got to him, and then all the way from Horsham to Mitcham, that's about 40 miles. Every time I pressed the brake, the sound was, I said, hey, don't disgrace me. Don't let me bring the car all the way there. And he drove it. He said, there's nothing wrong with your car. So when I got to him and I said, can you believe it? All the way from Horsham here, the sound I was hearing, I'm not hearing it anymore. He now said, don't worry, let me check. You know, when you're skilled, he went to the front. Okay, that's fine. Went to the back. The pad is gone. I said, yeah. Went to the other one. The pad is gone. I said, so what's needed? He said, you're going to need two parts. I started panicking. until he now called me, I'll get the parts. So he was next to me calling the parts people. And when I heard the price, I said, you know, why have you been worried? £11 to change both parts. And I said, asking, so Sam, how much are you going to charge him? Today, just give me £25. I said, that is what happens when you allow, because at the end of the day, when I finished praying in the Holy Spirit, I kept saying this thing, everything shall be all right. Everything will be all right. I didn't know I was professor. No man, everything will be all right. I drove all the way to, and I said, if I had continued, it's not that I'd have ended up, because when he showed me the pad, I was like, wow, the pad was already gone. So the sound I was hearing was the grinding sound on the disc. So if I had, but I told him, listen, because I was thinking it was going to be an expensive job. I said, but normally it is the, you said the front, listen to me, start, I was thinking, the front pads are okay. Sometimes I can keep driving until I have money to. He said, Tunde, if you don't change it, it will not just be pad, you have to change it, will be disc, and that's a bigger job. I said, okay, I'll pray now. My mind, if you, and that's what happens if you allow your mind to take over. And one way to put your spirit, one way to make sure your spirit is the one leading, dedication. You've made a decision, single mind of purpose. I'm serving other people, God through me. And some of you might say, oh, I'm not called to ministry. Let me show you. You might want to go home and let me show you something in Mark chapter 16. He said, I'm not called to preach. I don't have a ministry. Are you? And this is Jesus talking in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, he said to who? Them. That was his disciples there. So when you read that, who is God talking? Who is Jesus talking to? Who is Jesus talking to now? When you read this, it's us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah. So you have a specific role in the body of Christ to carry out. Yeah. Rely wholly on the Spirit of God. Let God's word strip you down and live a fasted life. You do that continuously. You get to the point where all of a sudden, because I hope you know, the same conditions that hit the house that was on a firm foundation is the same one that hit the one on sand. It wasn't the storm that destroyed the one that was on sand. It was the fact that it did not have foundation. It was a lack of foundation. And what was the reason Jesus gave for not having foundation? What was the reason? Okay, I'll help you. Because both of them came. Yeah? So they did one. They both did one. The first one, they came to him. Both of them heard. But one did what? Did. And the other one did not do it. So it's in the doing. It's in the doing. It's in the doing. So do it. Do it. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Dedication. Singleness of mind. Lord, I am yours to be used. Use me. And then get prepared to rely completely on the Spirit of God. Completely on the Spirit of God. And let God's word strip you down. Spend time with God's word. And live a fasted life. A fasted life. Because I'm trying to give myself an illustration of what fasting would do. Because at the end of it, you want your spirit to rise to ascendancy, to be the one in control of your mind and your body. And the one way to do it, deny your body of some pleasures. Deny it of food. Deny it of comfort. I have a pastor friend, he calls it 6 hours of glory. He just spent 6 hours praying in the Holy Spirit. That's it. He calls it, maybe not every day, but 6 hours of glory. Just praying the Holy Ghost for 6 hours nonstop. The body wants to sleep. The body on, oh, praise God, hallelujah, amen. I appreciate, I know how busy all of us are, but you want to be effective, you want to be efficient, you want to be the one God calls on. You want to be the one available for Him to use. You want to be the one that will reflect His glory. Amen. Deny your body of some pleasures and make it a habit. Don't do it. Say, okay, the first week of, the last week of December and the first week of January, I'm going to fast. And then for the rest of 2024, no more fasting. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you learned something this morning? Glory be to God. Rise to your feet and give God some praise. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. So at this point, having heard that, right now what you need to do is make a decision on what you're going to do with the word you have just heard. Because yes, you have come. Yes, you have heard, but it's in the doing. So you need to make up your mind. You need to decide on what you're going to do with the word you have just heard. What are you going to do with the word you have just heard? Make that a conversation between yourself and God. What are you going to do with the word you have just heard. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Yes, we make up our minds to be dedicated. Yeah. Father, we choose to make a decision. A decision with no retreat and no surrender, no turning back, no turning back. We make up our minds to be single-minded on your purpose for our lives. To be that answer to that person in our world, that solution to that person in our world. To be the light that we are, to be the salt that you have called us. Father, we make up our minds, we will rely on the Holy Spirit. We will learn to lean on Him. We will learn to seek Him. We will learn to listen out for Him. We will learn to spend time in His presence. Spending time with your word. Letting your word to strip us down. Making us lean and ready for your use. And Father, yes. Yes, Lord. When you speak to us, it's not our ears that hear you. Our body doesn't gain. Our body, you do not make contact with us with any of our five physical senses. So therefore, Lord, yes, we make up our minds to live a fasted life. So the flesh can be quiet and our spirits can be sensitive to you. And Father, we make that decision today. When we hear you, we will do. When we hear you, we will do.